The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one's awesome. It's with Michael Bessinger from Bessinger's Barbecue in Charleston, South Carolina. I've wanted to talk to him for a while because he has an old school place in Charleston where there's a lot of new places or newer places and different styles of barbecue that have come in to Charleston, and he's essentially stayed old school, and he is third generation. His son's working there, so possibly there'll be a fourth generation working there, and they could date the business back to 1939. He has all these old stories about his grandfather and his father and the way that the business evolved, and basically they're known for pork, mustard sauce, and onion rings, and they have other things. So they have other things that they offer, but it's an old school place, and it's very insightful. I think that you'll learn a lot about what he's all about and what he plans to do in the future. It's only about 2 miles south of downtown Charleston. So if you're just visiting Charleston, they're open 11 to 9, 7 days a week. So you can visit them any day, any time of day. I can't wait to stop in multiple times when I do hit Charleston up. And I can't thank Michael enough for taking the time during this busy season to share his story and his family story and the restaurant story. And if you're enjoying these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. Also hit the bell notification. I do about 2 of these per week. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. I'm on all the social media at kevinsbbqjoints. But at the end, stay safe, visit your local barbecue joint. And during this holiday season, a gift card at a barbecue joint is a great gift. Thanks so much. How are you doing today?
Man, doing great. Just been a busy morning. A couple call outs at work. So running all over town, trying to get things done. And, you know, every day's new.
This day and age, right?
Restaurant business is pretty challenging, but it's very rewarding and, you know, very exciting at the same time. But you just got to go with the flow.
Exactly. How has it been? We'll get into a lot of different things, but how has it been with staffing these days? Has it been
It's been pretty rough. I mean, through COVID, we did great. We retained everyone except for a couple of people who decided to move back home to Ohio or wherever else they were.
Oh, okay.
But once the change started happening was about 8 months ago when the benefits were rolling out.
We couldn't
get anybody. And then we were running bare bones. And then and now that I'm actually almost fully staffed, I usually have at one restaurant about 45 to 50 people, but I have about maybe 33 now, whereas I had 18. Unfortunately, everyone's a little worn thin, and therefore quality of applicants gets less and less.
Yeah.
But we're doing good.
Well, like doing you great. Said, the call outs, I've heard of a lot of call outs, and I've heard of people actually not even showing up for interviews too.
But
I guess that probably happened in the past, but that's like been more prevalent, I think. Your restaurant has been open, and then forgive me because I thought that you only had one. Do you have more than one location? Am I going crazy?
No, we have one. We upon a time when my father and his brother were business partners, they had 9, I believe it was, at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And they decided to go their own ways, and we retained 3 to 4, not exactly just 3 or 4. So we operated and owned four restaurants, and we decided to clean it up, you know, make one location great. And and the rest is history. So we've had them all over, but we just have this one location now. We're always looking to branch out, you know, just waiting for the right opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and it's not that having multiple locations. I've talked to many different people. It's not an easy thing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's sporadic. I guess it all depends on either the area or the people that are in charge of those specific spots, the management. It's not either.
Yep.
Running a restaurant in the first place is not the easiest profession. The original restaurant was open in 1939.
Correct. Wow. So my grandfather, now through this interview and conversation, there may be people who want to text me after and say, no, that's wrong. Our grandfather did this and this and this. Someone will text them and tell them, no, you're wrong. So I'm just kind of like, whatever, you know, I'm just here to live the legacy, keep the legacy going. But back in 1939, my grandfather, you know, folklore has it, he traded, I believe, a cow and a milk goat through the Depression to buy a little diner, open a little diner to feed his family because they're, they're poor as 11 siblings. And they had a, they're all farmers and had a big farm up in Orangeburg and decided to get in the restaurant business back in 1939. And it closed down shortly after, I believe, the Depression was just hitting it too hard. And they reopened, I don't know, about a year or so later. The dates escape me a little bit. And so back, so basically we just established it, reestablished it in 1939. So back in 1941, but it started in 39.
Okay. So it started, and then was that at the location that you're at? The
No, no. This was location was out in the country, out in Holly Hill, South Carolina, which is about 40 minutes north of Charleston. So my father grew up on the farm in Orangeburg, but then they moved to Holly Hill. And when he was about 8 years old, I believe. So in 1939 is when they moved to Holly Hill to do that.
And so were they cooking, was the menu pork shoulder? Like what was, or pork, what was the menu at the time?
Yeah, well, we're not exactly sure. It was a diner. So of course they did a lot of breakfast. They hit that, that highway that they were on, which is this tiny little town. Was the main highway from Columbia, South Carolina to like Charleston. There was interstate. There was no interstate. So everyone stopped there and had breakfast and lunch. And then my dad told me as growing up that it would, you know, kill their own hogs and go out to farms and pick the hogs, hang them up, you know, and do the dirty business and then cook them in the ground. So they would do whole hogs in the ground.
And so then he, so how many siblings were there in, like your dad was one of three, was he, or four?
One of 11.
Oh, so he, your dad was one of 11.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I was thinking he your grandfather was one of 11. Okay.
No, he was like one of seven or something. Like he had a good sized family as well.
They can you imagine having 11 children?
No, golly. He said he slept in the hallway. That's where his bedroom was, in the hallway on the farm.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. That is crazy. So then, like fast forward to you grew up in the restaurant business too then, right?
I did. So my life was, you know, parents got divorced when I was very young, about 1 or 2 years old.
Okay.
And I had three other siblings and two of them worked in the business. My brother, Tommy, who's the oldest sibling, who's now my business partner. He helped, you know, take me to and fro places when I was a kid. My dad worked. And running all those restaurants. And so I grew up in the business. Father told me I was never going to be a part of the business, that he wanted better for me. You know, he wanted me to become a, you know, every parent's aspiration is be a rocket surgeon, you know, do something better than dirty work like this. I was too much of a busybody in school to do that, you know, so.
You were having too much fun?
Yeah, I was having too much fun. And it was no parents' problem to keep me under control. So I'm going to do what I wanted to. So, and then he, I opened a landscaping company, you know, went to school for horticulture and barbecue was never my passion. I liked to eat, you know, but like to eat it when I went to the restaurant, but it was not my thing. Even though I worked through the restaurant, I started when I was 13 there, being a busboy and cleaning walls and washing dishes until, gosh, I don't know, I was 15, 16 years old. And my dad had me cashier and hostess. And then after that, he had me do more cooking and customer service, and then I ended up buying the business from him. My brother and I did in 2012.
Okay,
so
semi-recent,
right? Yeah, so almost 10 years ago.
Okay, wow, that's so. Because it, and growing up in the restaurant business and doing all those different tasks, you understand what it takes, like what the, because I think a lot of people will jump into the business, but they haven't done all those types of things, and even too, a lot of people that like aspire to have a restaurant don't realize how many little tasks are, how many little things are.
That's right. If you can't tell anybody or train someone to do something if you haven't done it 100 times over.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be very seasoned in what you're doing. And my dad loved to season me in the grunt work for many years. You know, he had me manage the restaurant, making schedules and training people, and you know, but
good practice. Even though he didn't initially want you involved, he definitely gave you all the knowledge that you needed to. And how is he doing? He's 90 years old, right?
He just turned 90 Saturday. We had a great huge party for him. It was the first birthday party he's ever had in his entire life because he hates attention. Yeah. Hates attention. Never wanted to party. And I said, heck with this. Let's do this. So we just threw a big party at my house, and it was a great party. He was
extraordinarily
surprised and happy. But yeah, he's doing well, you know, physically or internally. He's doing better than I am. He's his organs are all great. Mine, you know, are questionable, but he's great. You know, he's slow moving nowadays, but he still comes around, you know. And matter of fact, I called him the day after his birthday and asked him how he enjoyed it. And he says, good, but I got something I want to talk to you and address to you about the restaurant. I didn't like what that person was doing. Okay, back really? To business. Here we go.
So does he come by a lot then?
He does every day, pretty much every day.
Oh, he does. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, that's nice. And that, you know, that's important, I think, for anybody in life to have something that they're doing all the time, because I think that when you just sit at home, it just eats at you. And I think eventually it's, you need something, some kind of passion. And he probably, so when did you and your brother took over the business, did you retool it kind of like that? Well, did you, in the back of your mind, did you have an idea that you wanted to freshen it up or change things? Like, did things stay the same, or were they pretty much?
Yeah, pretty much. We didn't want to mess with anything. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do try to kind of do some things here and there. Like recently, we just started serving beer, and you know, the population demographic in Charleston has changed so much. A lot of the old Charlestonians are gone. They moved away, and we have so many transient people here now. And every time, you know, they come in, you for example, my wife and I were in the kitchen one day working at the front of the house and together, and you know, a group of 10, I believe, came in, wondering if we sold beer. We said, no, we didn't. So one person wanted the Yingling. And so they left and went to my competitor's restaurant down the street. I said, enough of that, you know. Yeah. So we brought beer in, and you know, I've been fine tuning the menu here and there over the years, but you know, we don't mess with our key items.
Yeah,
all. No. Aesthetically.
Yeah, aesthetically,
I would love to redo the place. It's, you know, it's been there since 1960. It's very old. It's nothing but termite and fat lighter holding hands, you know. So, yeah, I have a pretty big insurance policy on that fat lighter building.
So what kind of pits do you guys have? And were they built by your dad?
Sorry?
And were they built by your grandfather? Is that your dad?
No. We the pits have been a constant evolution, revolution, back to evolution again. It's been, you know, you've been in this business for so long, you kind of, things come in full circle. You know, we used heavily for years some, you know, Southern Pride, because we had so many restaurants.
Yeah.
We used that one restaurant basically as a commissary to support and cook meats for those other restaurants. We had such volume, but we've gotten away from that in the past decade. And I have two 500 gallon Austin Smoke Works road pits, and then I have a BQ grill whole hog cooker that I did to really boost up whole hog catering. And and as soon as I got that built, and COVID hit, and then my caterings went away. And I'm just trying to get caterings going back again, but we're trying to get those type of pits working full time, but trying to find, you know, skilled labor to stay around long enough to teach them. It's been a challenge. Yeah. But I'm there working, using them quite often. But the 2500 gallons, John Lewis of Lewis Barbecue is a good friend of mine.
Oh, great.
And they're from his company. As a matter of fact, he and I built one, a home version ourselves, that's sitting in my backyard right now.
Oh, really?
And it's a little mini version. Okay. And so he taught me how to cook on those offsets. You know, I kind of had I had an idea, because I was using Lang's for years at the restaurant, but that design by him is very unique.
Yeah,
so I had to relearn all.
And he knows what he's doing, so he really. He has a good idea. Did you know him prior to him coming back to Charleston?
No, I never met the guy. I don't remember how we met. I think I went to check his restaurant one day, and I was there. So, hey, you're John Lewis's? Yeah, I'm Michael Bessinger. I own Bessinger's Barbecue. He's like, oh, the one over there on Savannah Highway. I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh my gosh, you know. He said, I've been in your restaurant a few times. I love it. I'm like, I can get out of here. Come on, you know. And he said, no, seriously. And then just one day, somehow I got his phone number. We were texting back and forth, and I wanted to get a new smoker for my house. I had 9 smokers over here, and I didn't like any of them. And one day he said, let's just build one. So that was the beginning of a good friendship.
Wow.
And yeah.
When he was building them with his dad at the beginning. That's how they.
Yes. Yeah. Started. Austin Smoke Works. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Austin Smoke, their pits are beautiful. And I know that
yeah.
they, a lot of things that they've done are proprietary, and things that they like, like little secrets that they've started.
Well, Jimbo Glass over there, who took it over, does a great job. He owns that company now.
Yeah, he's
a nice guy. When building these pits, John, you know, said, well, I said, well, John, what do you think about this design? And this, he goes, oh, no, he's just a piece of crap. Don't do that. He says that pit looks pretty, but it doesn't work. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're a pretty well-known company. No, they did this and this wrong. It's not going to work.
Isn't that funny how people have a brain for that? That's like, it's in his soul. It's in his being. That's it. And I want to talk about your menu, and I want to talk about your sauce, and also too that you're open 7 days a week, which is really a nice thing for people to know. Yes. Because that's I'm sure you're open 7 days a week because you pay rent 7 days a weekend. Because it's like the old saying that people say. But now Charleston has changed a lot since. How long have you lived personally in Charleston?
Well, I was born and raised in Charleston. The best of your family. Now, this is also speculation, but the best in your family, what I saw, my CPA actually gave me a book, his family lineage book, heritage, whatever you want to call it, an ancestry book. And it documented where the Bessingers landed in Charleston in 1734.
Oh, really?
And from Germany. And so some went out west into Central Texas. That's why you have kind of a little bit of a mustard theme in Central Texas, pork, you know, and all that stuff. But yeah, so the Bessingers stayed around, and we went up to Orange and stayed in Charleston, and became farmers. Back to the
you were actually born in Charleston.
Yes, I was literally born a mile from the restaurant.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, and lived there. In 1960, my dad decided after he got out of the military and came back to the United States to help his father his father died when he was 14, but he came back to get back to the restaurant industry, moved back to Charleston, and helped his brothers run barbecue restaurants here in Charleston, which was called Piggy Park back in the day. It was curb service.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard that name.
So, yep. And then he decided to do his own Piggy Park in 1960 in West Ashley in Charleston, the same location we're at now.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Okay. That makes sense. But but you've seen Charleston change a lot, huh?
Crazy amounts. It's crazy amounts. As a matter of fact, I was printing out a bunch of photos from my dad's birthday party and put on display, and I came across a bunch of old photos my brother had taken back in the 70s and 80s of the area, and 60s and 70s, 80s. I was blown away. I mean, it's almost not a tree to be found now. It was just nothing but trees. You know, it was great.
That amazing.
That's... And the traffic was minimal, if any at all. Now you're sitting in traffic all day long. But, you know, people watching this from Atlanta or wherever, DC, they're, you know, they don't feel sorry for me at all.
But it's Los Angeles. I'm from Los Angeles. And so I get it, but it's marketably different for you.
It's marketably different. It's a good thing. It's good for business. Charleston itself has been spruced up, and it's a great place to live. It was a greater place to live back then because the population was so low. It's a greater place to live now because there's so much more to do. You know, tax dollars being put to good use, a lot of new things happening up, a lot of great restaurants, a lot of great other venues. It's fantastic, but I do miss the Charleston of old. You know, everyone knew everyone, you know, personalities melded better. You know, we didn't have, you know, people from other areas of the country coming to bring their politics or their thoughts.
Yeah,
or,
no, that's, you know, I can imagine. No, that's.
So, yeah, I don't want to get, I don't. Always want to get political, but just leave me alone, basically. Let's just have a beer. Let's have a sweet tea or something. We don't need to get a fight.
Yeah. No, exactly. But it also, too, the barbecue scene has changed a lot, too, in the last 10 years or so. It just seems like there's a lot more, and there's different barbecue. But it just seems like things have grown to a point where now it's a barbecue destination for people.
It really is. That also is a good thing and bad thing. We were pretty much the only barbecue people here. You know, we ruled the roost, ruled the area, and we're still here. No one's kicked our butt out yet. Yeah. And but they're doing a good job of capturing a different audience. You know, it all changed, I think, when Home Team came to Charleston. More of a chef-driven type barbecue. Yeah. We're old school. They're more chef-driven. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, Rodney started to come to Charleston, and John Lewis before him. But yes, and then, you know, Swig and Swine, you know, they all do a fantastic job.
They're all different.
All different. That's what, you know, I can appreciate other flavors and profiles of barbecue because now, although when I was younger, I didn't care for it. Now I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still learning everything. My father to the day still says he learns new things. So anyone who tries to say they're, you know, a great pit master and know everything, No. You know, humble yourself, because one day something's going to change like it did for us.
Exactly. At the beginning, it was a pork-based menu. When did brisket come into the menu?
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Shortly after Home Team came around town, they kind of introduced brisket a little bit, not at the scale John does. You know, I don't think. I mean, that's private, because pretty much his bread and butter.
That's his more of his thing, yeah, Central Texas style. Yeah.
Yeah. But people kept coming and saying, hey, you have brisket. No, we have round eye. You know, we did beef, but it wasn't brisket.
Explain round eye.
It's a really lean, cylinder type kind of meat we would season and smoke off. And when we cut it really thin, kind of a medium rare.
My grandmother used to cook it a lot.
Yeah.
It's very old school.
It's called pit beef. Okay. I believe, who's the fellow there in Asheville?
Elliot Moss?
Yes, he does it.
Oh, he does.
And that's what we did. That's what we did for decades. And then we stopped it and tried our hand at brisket. And, you know, we do okay with it. Everyone who tries it absolutely loves it. Even, you know, John Lewis says, hey, man, this is pretty good. You know, but it's just not our forte. I want to stick with what we know, what we're known for, which is pork, onion rings, mustard sauce, you know, things of that nature.
That's the classic Bessinger meal. That's what. Yeah. And it's also, too, I love that you have onion rings on your menu, because not every place. Yeah. It's just, there's something, I don't know, nostalgic. I love onion rings.
Well, traditional barbecue here is, you know, hush puppies, pork, and, you know, hash and rice, which we do have. We do great hash and rice.
I saw hash and rice in your menu too, which is really cool.
Yeah. But onion rings is by far one of the things unusual for a barbecue restaurant to be known for, but we're very popular. And it's, you know, we make everything from, they're huge. They're great. But
that's awesome. Well, let's go over your menu. What are your key items? And there's all these different like ways to order things too, right?
Yeah, well, our top, you know, five items are the pork sandwiches, the Big Joe, Little Joe, which is named after my grandfather, Joe Bessinger.
Isn't there a Colossal Joe too?
We do the Colossal Joe because Man versus Food wanted to come film us, and they said, "Hey, we want something impressive." Yes. I said, "Okay, let me think on that." So I came up with the Colossal Joe, and which is a trifecta of mustard-based barbecue with slaw, which was a throw to Carolina, North Carolina. Then I added Texas flair. We layered it with brisket. And then we did pile of heaping fried onions. So this is a massive sandwich, you know, that four people could eat. And, you know, it's not a huge seller because with that much meat, you got to charge a pretty penny for it. But that's not a top item. The barbecue sandwich, the pork sandwiches, and our burgers. We sell a ton of burgers. Mm-hmm. We're pretty well known for that. We use local produce. We use, you know, everyone's on this Duke versus Hellman's voting kick, and it's always Duke's. It's only Duke's for us. And you know, we try to source fresh bread every day for any kind of sandwich, and then onion rings obviously, and then our pork plates, our meat plates,
and the plates
and the ribs are pretty popular.
Oh yeah, and they have ribs too, but the plates are, most people are probably getting plates or sandwiches, right? Isn't that kind of you said burgers. So there's a lot of options too, so that you can get, people can come multiple times in a week, or if they come with a family that has a bunch of different
we've trimmed some things off the menu to try to make things a little bit more efficient, but we're trying to stay true to what people most want. You know, like we have this fried chicken sandwich, we call it the Big Chick. It's a massive chicken breast. It's a sandwich, it's huge. And then we do baskets as well for every sandwich, which is a basket full of french fries and an onion ring. But the onion rings, you know, they're that big and that big around. So, you know, you see this thing and customers are like, what the heck is that? You know, it's your onion ring. Like, wow, okay. So
are most people dipping those in the sauce?
No, they like them just as is. My wife eats it with mustard barbecue sauce. My pit master eats it with barbecue sauce. I don't. That's probably the one thing I love to eat the most at work is the onion rings.
Yeah, I'd like. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the sauce. How long has the sauce been part of your tradition?
Forever. My grandfather, we like to say he created mustard-based barbecue sauce. you know, prepared mustard didn't enter the U.S. until I think in the early 1900s. And it was said throughout the family, he created, using once prepared mustard came about, he created this barbecue sauce in his barn on the farm, Holly Hill, to open his restaurant using it.
Okay.
So,
and was he using it? Was he using it as a sauce or to mop or both? Or
yeah, both. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of guys, like, you know, they'll mop with their vinegar sauce. We prefer to mop with the mustard sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
It has enough vinegar in it to be a vinegar based sauce almost, but you know, it's so good. It's so sweet and tangy and savory. It's not overpowering with mustard. Some mustard sauces are just,
oh yeah,
hit you in the, it's kind of hits you right there in the jowls too much, mm-hmm, of that mustard.
That's, I can feel that feeling mellow right now as you say, yeah, that. It's such an odd feeling. Well, and you sell that sauce online too, right?
We actually just got our online store about up and running. It's okay. Taken me several years because it's been on the back burner. It's never been a priority because we sell, mm-hmm, it in grocery stores.
Okay, that's,
and we sell through Publix, Harris Teeter, Big Wiggly's, Lowe's, grocery store, IGA's, all kind of grocery stores, Food Lion. So, you know, we sell tens and tens and tens of thousands of bottles a year through the stores. So my online presence was not a priority.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just keeping the business going.
But are you going to, so then will that be something that you will be able to get? Is
eventually? Oh yeah, very soon. We actually just did a couple test runs of orders online and shipped them out just to see, you know, as a matter of fact, one of the two packages we shipped out were destroyed by FedEx. So we got to start all over and rethink that again.
That's, yeah, you have to imagine that, because one time when this is a long time ago, I ordered a laminator when I was married for my wife, and I was working with my folks at their house, and they had a gate, and I saw the UPS guy, or I think it was UPS, and he was during Christmas time, and he threw it. I saw it go over to the, like, I was walking by it, I could see something, and it was a laminator, and it just shattered. It was just destroyed. But it was just like,
well, how they do that, because we were doing test cases at my house, and we were filming us throwing the box outside of the window.
Oh, that's
second floor onto the driveway. That's, and smart. The bottle barely cracked. The lady took pictures and sent it to us, and that bottle was dropped out of an airplane, I think, that box was.
Wow, that's no, that's really smart. But that would be nice. So eventually, so people can, if they follow you on social media, you'll announce when that's available. And also too, like, your hat's really cool and your clothes. Like, so I think that would be an eventual thing that would be fun.
Yeah, they'll get merchandise, sauces, gift cards. Digital gift cards. If someone's far away and they want to send their friends or family here in Charleston a gift card, they can have one emailed to them.
If they know that someone's traveling there ahead of time, they can get it to them.
Right.
So that way
you can also order on food online as well through our app.
I saw that too. That's great. Yeah. So you could order ahead. Can you order a day ahead or multiple days?
Yeah, you can order a day ahead. We try to make it as easy as possible for the users. Yeah. But you can download Bessinger's Barbecue app and there you go.
Oh, cool. Okay. So it was an app. I noticed that on the website too, you could order on.
Yeah. Through the website. You can do it through, and I believe ChowNow and I think Google possibly, if you Google this. Yeah.
What a weird world we live in that you could.
Yeah. So that's to go back to your question about how have you done since you bought the business from your father, you and your brother, have you kept it the same? Are you trying to, we're so busy just trying to keep up with current, you know, progression of technology and how things are moving. You know, I don't have a crew of people behind me doing all this in the background. It's literally myself and my wife doing all this stuff nonstop just to keep up with technology.
Yeah, just that alone. And I'm sure you get bombarded with things for, you know, every kind of POS system. Like I don't have a restaurant and people think I do because when Kevin's Barbecue Joints, I get emails and things all the time from people thinking, like, trying to like pitch their thing. So you probably get inundated and people I've worked at restaurants and you have to be a gatekeeper and try to keep people at bay. And then you have suppliers. There's a lot. Like so you guys are open. Is it 11 till 9?
11, 9 Monday through Sunday. We are open pretty much 364 days a year. We're closed down this year for the first time for Thanksgiving, just to kind of give people a day to recharge. Yeah, right. And the family themselves on Christmas Day or at night, we're in there working at night, loading smokers, getting meats prepped for the next day loads. And so we're there while, you know, we're closed.
Yeah. Yeah. And then with the business, with holidays coming up, do you guys have anything special for Thanksgiving or for Christmas? Like, do you guys have turkeys?
We do holiday packages, but this year for Thanksgiving, I decided not to do it. Okay. With the uncertainty of the food supply chain right now.
That makes sense.
And if I, and I was going to go ahead and buy early. But I decided this year, let's just chill out. Let's take some time to our families through all this hectic season this past year. And, I would hate to have, 100 orders of turkeys and only get 50 in, and I just ruined 50 Thanksgiving. So I said, let's wait for the world to kind of come back or circle and normalize on the food supply chains and prices.
Well, especially with truckers, it's tough. I think they're down 80,000 truckers or some amazing number of 40. It's going to be
an interesting. Where did they go?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Where did they go?
Yeah. Did they evaporate? It's a strange thing. Cause the number is like in the tens of thousands, and it's just strange that would be something that would just kind of evaporate. I don't think that they're all sitting home playing video games or something. I think there's something's amiss.
Maybe they just went up there with Bezos and, he left them up there or something in the space shuttles.
Exactly.
That's maybe, where people have gone off to.
Or maybe everyone, certain people just moved to the woods or something. I don't know.
Right.
Then so if you fly into Charleston, what's the name of your airport? Is it Charleston International?
Charleston International Airport.
How far away are you?
We're about maybe a 10-minute drive. So we're about, I would say 2 miles south of downtown Charleston. So it's a pretty quick trip from the airport. If your main goal is to go downtown, more than likely you're going to pass Bessinger's Barbecue, and you can't miss it. It's a huge red barn.
I'll put pictures below of it.
And you can't miss it. So,
and is there an outdoor covered seating too? Is that right next to
the we put some tables under that barn. Okay. We do have some future plans of growth of that restaurant. We had a barbecue buffet. It's a 14,000 square foot restaurant. You have two dining rooms on the ends of the building. In the middle is one massive kitchen. It's two kitchens, really.
Oh, wow.
And one that, which was the buffet, we closed down about 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. It was up and running for 40 years. What's that?
Was that like a meat and three kind of place?
It was a country buffet and barbecue buffet, your typical barbecue menu, fried chicken, fried catfish, catfish stew, all the, fixings and salad bars, soups and all that. And we closed it down, just couldn't maintain the cost and the waste of food. Labor was starting to become an issue in the market at that time. And 40 years is a long run for a buffet. And so and the space is pretty cool. I said, man, I might just put a sports bar in here, make it a, recently had the idea of making a speakeasy, cigar lounge, but I scratched that idea as of yesterday. But a sports bar, a sports bar with, a lot of outdoor seating and maybe a bunch of TVs with limited menu. Something easy to pull off as far as, especially with the labor shortage the way it is.
That's a smart idea. I think that makes a lot of sense.
And, a lot of parking. So there's a lot of possibilities of the future of Bessinger's Barbecue.
Yeah.
My kid, I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son, an 11-year-old son. And my 15-year-old son's been there with, working with me since he was 9, making barbecue sauce.
Wow.
I make 200 gallons of mustard barbecue sauce in house every week. In this huge vat, I had custom made, and now today, he's a much bigger kid than I am. He's 15, and he's in there tearing it up. One of my best employees.
Wow, that's awesome. Yep. So that's neat. So that he'll be fourth generation then, essentially.
He'll be fourth generation. Yep. So just try to plan ahead and see if this is something he's interested in doing, or I don't know. Maybe I want him to continue to do this. I'm starting to turn into my father.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
You need to become a rocket surgeon. Lead their business. Dude, do something different, please. Yeah. He's so good at it.
Yeah.
He's got a great personality, a strong kid, and my daughter. She's going to be smarter than all of us, and probably venture to do something different. Who knows what my wild child, 11-year-old Oliver, is going to do? He's all over the place. I don't know. He'll probably move to Germany or something, or France. Who knows with that guy?
Maybe he'll open up the German version of Bessinger's out there.
Yeah, there you go. Do whole hog, stuff it with sauerkraut. There you go.
Definitely. So do you do whole hog ever at the restaurant, or is it just for caterings?
We've done it a few times. It's mostly just for caterings. That's why I had that cooker made. But we don't do whole hog. It's something I would like to get back into doing, since my dad did it throughout the years. And it got to be to the point where the whole hog, our volume just outmatched the capabilities of getting hogs.
Yeah.
Now that there's so many different restaurants in Charleston, and some of them are doing whole hogs, some just doing, you know, choice cuts of their cuts of meat, shoulders, like we do shoulders now. There's no need for us to do whole hogs. Now that the market's being flooded with barbecue restaurants in Charleston, now the availability and accessibility and cost of it being cost effective is more readily available. So I've entertained it.
Yeah. So that's something maybe potentially down the line. Did you do hams at one point?
We did do hams at one point. We my dad always did shoulders and butts, and then he decided to do something different, you know, because hams, you know, some of the old timers did hams. And so we did the hams, and I stopped it because we went back to shoulders because the fat ratio in the hams that were coming in were so lean.
Yeah, it was just so dry, and
it was getting too dry, not enough fat content. And I just could not find a purveyor to give us the product we were looking for. So we went back to shoulders.
That makes sense. You're evolving. You're kind of moving back and forth, figuring out what makes the most sense. And you want to give the best product to your customers. And that's
right. We want to see what the customer's feedback is and what they prefer. And they prefer the shoulders. And that's a good move that we made.
Yeah. And not a lot of places serve ham. It's not as common. I think there's maybe a handful, and hush puppies too. Like I used to go to North Carolina for business twice a year. I think I mentioned in an email to you for furniture market when my father was alive. And that's the first time I had had hush puppies before. Cause they're not common in California. And then also too, do you have like, then you must have sweet tea then, right?
Of course. Come on. Who doesn't have sweet tea?
But like, how sweet is it? Is it a sweet tea that like makes your like, filling shirt or
your teeth might chatter. I don't know.
Cause when I had it in North Carolina, but, for the first time, I had never really had obviously sweet tea cause I had it, excuse me, I'm coughing too, but it's sweeter than you would imagine. If someone's listening to this, cause a lot of people have never had real sweet tea.
Oh, it's the wine of the South. We do it the old way. We steep it in a big pot. We don't, a lot of restaurants, it has gotten to the point where they make simple syrup. You know, they'll make a pot of unsweet tea from their machine and just pour simple syrup or sugar in it, and they're done. Now we steep it with bags for an hour, just let it sit there and get all that good flavor out the bags, and then we sweeten it up that way.
And it's a nice compliment too, isn't it, to the barbecue?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
That's cool. I know. It's like, I've already like talking about like just mentioning sweet tea, like it's like you wouldn't have it has offended like 6,000 people. Because of course you would, but you have beer now too. And then, is there anything that we haven't covered that you want people to know about you guys?
No, I take great pride in what my father has built and his father built. We're the oldest restaurant in Charleston owned and it's still operated by the family. Yeah. The Bessinger family was pioneered mustard-based barbecue sauce. We were the first base mustard-based family. Yeah. It's not as old as vinegar sauce, but mustard, is close second. Yeah. And ours is very unique. That's why it's so popular, and I'm very proud that my father has given me this ability and legacy to carry on. But I hope that people know that we work hard and we try to give them what they want, and we hope to kind of turn the corner and do more to expand to a different region or I have people all the time wanting me to open restaurants all over the country.
Sure.
Who knows?
Stay tuned kind of thing.
But we're always, that's why we've been around through the Great Depression, we've been around through the Great Recessions and whatever we're in now. And all the wars, Bessinger's have survived it all because we believe in what we do. We love our customers. We love our employees. We depend on our staff. Our team has worked so hard for us, and because they're in there every day and they see who they're working for. They see this face. They don't know who the owner is, if they work in another restaurant that's a chain.
Yeah.
So we form a great relationship and a family atmosphere with our staff. And
you have a lot of local business probably too.
We do. We see some of the same people in the restaurant 2 or 3, 4 times a week.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And that's nice. Yeah, and and you probably know what they want to order.
I see them walking through I see them walking in through the parking lot, and I'm already starting to make their food.
How cool is that? What a great thing. I love places like that. And I like that kind of. And so I can't wait to visit when I do visit Charleston when I'm able to, because I'm
absolutely,
because I'm taking care of my mom and helping her out. Yeah.
We hope to grow. We hope to keep pushing forward and getting bigger and better.
Yeah. Ex- and, And so, yeah, and so chances are when they come in, they can see you and say hi. I wanted people to get a chance to see you and learn more about you. So that way, when they do visit, they see your face and they know, it's like meeting you for the first time now, and then they'll meet you in person when they visit, and you don't have to see them.
Right. Well, some people, you know, we're doing this Hog for the Cause thing. I was invited by Anthony DiBernardo at Circus Wine. He's throwing this Hog for Cause in Charleston. It's about 3,500 guests. It's going to be Elliot Moss, you know, him, home team, Rodney Scott, John Lewis, Peg Leg Porker, Leroy and Lewis. I mean, all these great pit masters from all over the country. Some, like a couple from California, actually.
Yeah.
Coming here November 13th, and they'll see all of us pit masters working together, and it's going to be a great fundraiser. Yeah, pediatric brain cancer is what all the money's going to, and y'all come out there and see us. Buy your tickets.
Have a great week. It was so nice to
meet you. Thank you. All right, goodbye.
Take care. Bye.